From his journeys to Muslim countries around the world to his historic visit to the Rome Synagogue just a few hundred yards from the Vatican, Pope John Paul made interfaith relations one of the priorities of his long pontificate. Determined to put the principles of the Vatican II document Nostra Aetate into practice, he encouraged and inspired interreligious dialogue based on mutual respect and cooperation for the common good.
As I look around the world, there's an enormous number of organisations and people who are dedicated to this at the moment.
David Ford is Regius Professor of Divinity at Cambridge University and Director of the Cambridge Interfaith Programme. I asked him if he sees the former pontiff as a significant influence on this work today.
I certainly would. I think his initiative in 1986 in calling the Assisi meeting was the most notable. It was against much opposition, and he had to see it through himself, as he said very clearly. And he was utterly delighted with the outcome, but he recognised that this was a long-term process. It seems to me we are still in that process. But he did other very notable things, for example, visiting a synagogue here in Rome.
Why were these particular things such priorities for him, do you think?
Certainly his own engagement with Jews at the time of the Nazis and the things he had experienced in Poland under the communists as well, I think gave him a great kinship with those who are up against really stubborn differences. And he was somebody who thought on a global scale. And I think he was able to recognise a massive issue when he saw it and knew that the issues between faiths were going to be a major issue for many, many decades to come. I think he saw, in fact, that this was a more profound issue in many ways for Catholics than ecumenical issues. In a sense, the Christian churches had, on the whole, moved from confrontation and conflict towards conversation and even collaboration in the aftermath of Vatican II. But the interfaith engagement had hardly begun in a serious way. And I think he saw that it needed a massive impetus. And that is what he gave it. And I think everyone in this world is deeply grateful to him for doing that.
Not just the Christian world that remembers Pope John Paul as one of the spiritual leaders of the late 20th century. Ever since the first day of prayer for peace in Assisi that he called for in October 1986, the Polish Pope has been hailed by believers of many different faiths as a key figure in the effort to promote better interreligious relations. During that first interfaith prayer gathering, Jesuit Father Tom Michel was the official in charge of Islam at the Pontifical Council for Interreligious Dialogue. Since then, he's served as the Jesuit Secretary for Interreligious Relations and Ecumenical Secretary for the Federation of Asian Bishops' Conferences. He's worked and lectured in countries around the world and is currently teaching at a number of Turkish universities. He talked to me about his memories of October the 27th, 1986.
I was working in the Vatican then, and in fact, it was my job to find Muslims. And it was really difficult. They were quite suspicious. I think they were worried about being drawn into some sort of disguised Christian proselytism. They were very hesitant. And we really had to convince them and pay their way. And still at the end, we only wound up with five or six people. Now, at the second day of prayer for peace in Assisi, it was so different. Remember, that was during the middle of the war in Bosnia. And we got a really good response from Muslims. It was limited to Muslims in Europe. But all those whom we invited, they were eager to come and prayed together, cooperated very well. Then in 2002, I guess it was, the third day of prayer for peace in Assisi, there were so many Muslims to come and so many important Muslims representing important Islamic organizations that there simply was not room for them all on the podium. The number of people who wanted to be there and really representative people exceeded our expectations and exceeded the possibilities to serve them. So I think we see a dramatic change going on from 1986 until now. On the one hand, I'm just speaking about Muslims, but we'd find something analogous, I think, with Jews and Buddhists and Hindus. But I think Muslims have seen that this is not a propaganda ploy, that the Pope and other popes are sincere about this. I think also a change has gone on in their own religious thinking, where the place of dialogue is respected now. Many of the initiatives I'm involved in, probably most of the initiatives I'm involved in, actually come from Muslims. Now, back in the 80s, this was not the case. We would invite, and sometimes they would come, sometimes they would not come. We'd invite again, and sometimes they'd come. But now, there's much more of a commitment on the part of Muslims themselves to initiate dialogue activities and encounters. And so that's a big change, is in their own internal attitude toward dialogue.
How much did Pope John Paul II himself, do you think, influence this change within the Muslim world? How much was...
I think he was really the key person. In terms of reception, I think that he was the one who really convinced Catholics around the world that Nostra Aetate and Lumen Gentium should be taken seriously in terms of our relations with people of other faiths. It could have so easily, those documents could have become just public relations. They came down on paper, but nobody really took them seriously. But we saw with Pope John Paul that he did take them seriously. He met with Muslims over 50 times. All the popes in history before him and after together have not met with Muslims maybe even 10 times.
Where do you think this inspiration comes from? Why was he so keen to push this particular aspect of the Second Vatican Council legacy, if you like?
His respect for Muslims was genuine. I heard him say in a private setting, there were no journalists around, there was no written script or anything. So he was saying what he thought. And he said, these Muslims, he said, are people of prayer. We all have to learn from that. I think it was his commitment to prayer and his experience of seeing that people were not praying as much. Who was praying? Muslims were praying. The day of prayer in Assisi in 93, when the Muslims came, they were supposed to come down and Euro Television was supposed to show the Pope meeting the Muslims. And so they sent up to me and I was supposed to be kind of leading them around. And they said to me, the Pope is ready to see the Muslims. I looked and here they were all at prayer. So I go running down the stairs to tell the Pope and the Cardinal who was there. They said, where are the Muslims? I said, they're in prayer. And the Pope says, yes, let them go. He says, that's what we're here for. So I think that his attitude was one of genuine appreciation, and they all sensed it. I can remember going to places like Tatarstan and to Malaysia, and when I would arrive, they'd greet me and say, oh, John Paul, John Paul. There was a genuine affection for him.
The meeting with young people in Morocco was perhaps of the most striking,
80,000, 90,000. And I've gone back to that text very often. It's a beautiful text. And really, it was a great moment. I wasn't there myself. I was here in the Vatican. But the moment was really a good one. And to me, that's the sort of thing we can recreate. When trust is there, there's a tremendous openness on the part of, I mean, good, believing, practicing Muslims, people who take their religion seriously, a respect for us as people who also are taking God seriously.
The Catholic Church remains firmly committed to the proclamation of the gospel and to dialogue with people of other religions. Proclamation of the gospel because, as Nostra Aetate points out, the Church must ever proclaim Christ, the way, the truth, and the life, in whom people find the fullness of religious life, and in whom God has reconciled all things to himself. Dialogue and collaboration with the followers of other religions, because of the spiritual and moral goods that we share. That dialogue is a complex of human activities, all founded upon respect and esteem for people of different religions. It includes the daily living together in peace and mutual help, with each bearing witness to the values learned through the experience of faith. It means a readiness to cooperate with others for the betterment of humanity and a commitment to search together for true peace.